Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome to Seventh Wave Network and the show Walking Between the Worlds. This is Al Mean, and I am delighted that you have joined us today for what is our seventh show in a series of 13 shows covering that which lies around us as the mysteries and the laws underlying existence. We have discussed multiple wonderful topics and hope you can take a little look at them by going into the archives of the show. But today we are going to talk about our relationship to the macrocosm. Man is the microcosm. And what is that special relationship we have with the all, or the macrocosm? In order to achieve more awareness, power is needed. Power is the result of increasing perception. At the most practical level, the benefit of looking at this very large picture is an immediate increase in personal power. This, in turn, enables us to hold more energy, producing higher consciousness. In other words, what we are saying is stretch your perception as far as it can go, which is what we will allow you to do today. And in stretching your perception, power is a side effect. Power is necessary for our evolution. The more power you have, the more energy is at your disposal. The more energy at your disposal, the more consciousness you can access at any given moment. Now, I have with us today my office manager in Newport and very dear friend, a wonderful master in his own right, Paul St. John, and I've asked him to compile a list of questions on this particular topic. And some of them are gathered from your emails to us, which we are always very delighted to get, and try as much as we can to include them in these shows. But some are his own that he has generated. So, Paul, very welcome on our show.
Thank you.
I think it's about the fourth time or so, but yes, delighted that you can join us.
It's my pleasure.
And please just go ahead and tell us whatever you want me to talk about.
Well, let's start in with a biggie. Let's start with what the cause or the origin is of distorted emotions. We'll get this out of the way, and then we can talk about some of the beautiful emotions later. But it would be good to know the distorted ones.
All right. Well, let's see how creation started. In the beginning, within vast oceans of consciousness, separated by membranes, an individuation of the infinite, which is an androgynous being, but it has more feminine than masculine components, and it's actually a formed creator goddess through which all life is birthed. As she created reflections of certain portions of herself, other life forms in the mirror of her perception. And I might just add that the Father was her very first creation. She could study those portions within herself. And she interacted with these mirror images as though they were real. And, you know, now I need to explain why she did that. But let me just finish my thought here, because when she treated the unreal as though they were real, it created distortion in four pairs of the pure 12 pairs of frequencies or emotions that are part of Mother's being. It created pain, anger, protectiveness, and fear. So although some still cling to these obsolete emotions, these distorted frequencies were recently replaced by the true and original frequencies. And we have mentioned this on shows before, but if folks go to the website called Belvaspata, B-E-L, V for Victor, A-S-P-A-T-A, they will see there exactly what those 12 pairs of pure frequencies are. And it tells us there how to internalize them. So they can go there and get the rest of the story. But let us take a look at why she treated the unreal as the real. The maxim for becoming a master is that at all times you have to define yourself by that which you are becoming, not by that which you are. Because if you define yourself by what you are in limitations and limited form, it locks you into that by creating a belief system. So what you have to do, you have to be aware of where those limitations are on the very peripheral vision, but hold your vision firmly fixed on the horizon. That which you are becoming is the way you are living this moment and every moment. So if you wish to become a master, you have to live as masterful as possible every moment because you define yourself by that already. Mother created us by creating the father, and jointly they created a screen. And on the screen, they created, if you will, when a car is designed, they created like lines on a television screen. Then the next step is to make it three-dimensional. So they first create what's on top, what's at the bottom, what's on the sides, you know, in linear form, like lines of perhaps light or something, red light or whatever color they make it in. Well, at that point, they put it together, and now they can sort of spin it around on the television screen, on the computer screen, and it becomes a three-dimensional image. So you can see it from the back as it goes, and from the top and the bottom. This is how mother and father created their creations. First, it was very two-dimensional. This is the top, this is the bottom, this is the back. Then they put those together in an image still within the screen and created it into a 3D image that could be turned this way and that way. But to make that come out of the screen, now there was the problem. So Mother entered into the screen being true, real, one infinite being expressing as the many.
Wow.
She entered, therefore, into that screen because she loved her creations so much that she wanted them to get out of the screen, become real enough for her to interact with, to hug, to hold. So she went into the screen. She treated them as real, Paul, because if she for 1 second withdrew her vision, it would go away and she'd have to start all over again. So the focus of it was very necessary. As a result, the first addiction was born, because Mother had to obsessively, meaning that that's not the norm that she would normally have done, she would have looked at her screen and looked away, but the screen was held open, as was the creations in it, by her vision. So she had to obsessively watch that until the day that as she went into the screen, she had to undergo a lot of forgetfulness, which is something we discuss in The Gift of the Unicorns, exactly what she went through to get us out of that screen. It's the second part of The Gift of the Unicorns, our book, and it was in fact given to me verbatim by the kingdom that Mother assigned as the history keepers of the cosmos. She wanted this mapped out. She wanted the journey of descension and ascension cycles mapped out so that we would know. Because what is the point of gaining that much wisdom if we promptly forget it? You see? So she obsessively had to focus on the screen. She had to actually go into experiences. And then when she came out of the screen, she brought her creations with her. But treating them as real when they weren't created the distortion in frequencies.
Wow, that's an incredible story.
It's a love story, really, isn't it?
It really is. Wow. So, I understand then, so that the cosmos itself was actually in the screen originally.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
In fact, you can describe sort of the cosmos maybe as the screen.
Okay.
But shall I give a bit better explanation of that for the folks?
Yeah, because often we've been thinking about these things just whether they're in the screen or not. It would be helpful, I think, for people to understand more what you mean when you speak about the cosmos.
Okay, let's do that. Well, all individuated life that lies within the boundary of what to us can be accessed as the known and the unknown. In other words, everything in the cosmos either we know or through mystical endeavors or whatever, or study, or perception, one way or the other we can know it. So the known and the unknown lie within a boundary. And that is the cosmos. In other words, the cosmos refers to the multiple kingdoms at various levels of reality that can be accessed. It, therefore, constitutes the known and the unknown. Differentiating it from what lies outside the cosmos as the unknowable. Now, something that I would like to share with both yourself and them, because, you know, you work by my side a lot, and so you're up to date more than virtually most people out there, even those that have studied with me for years, because you walk my path with me day to day. But there, some things have happened. So what the cosmos was last week, well, very specifically, the week before, is vastly different than what it is now. And I'm going to take a stab at making the biggest picture possible accessible to our listeners, and I just want to tell you that if you don't understand what I'm saying, that's all right. Just feel it with your heart. Even the subtle information of it will expand consciousness.
Absolutely.
It's that vast and important. So, first of all, people speak of parallel realities. Was that in our cosmos? And people speak of other cosmoses. I have in multiple of my books. What are those, then, if the cosmos is only within this membrane in which we live in various dimensions? Well, all cosmoses, during the massive ascension that has taken place cosmically since 2005, have been pulled into one, our cosmos. Some of those cosmoses have had 12 alternate realities. Ours had 4. All of the alternate realities, the alternate timelines, all of it has been pulled into one. All the cosmoses have been pulled into one. Mother did this by pulling all her DNA strands into one. We will explain a little further after this commercial break.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And in the first segment of our show, we have discussed very carefully with you how we have had Mother enter into the screen on which the design for her individuations, which are her creations, were created. How she went in there into forgetfulness. She suffered right along with us. And eventually, when she came out of the screen, she was able to bring us out of the screen. We have also intimated that massive changes have happened during the first week or two of December 2007. And so I'm going to tell you about those, because then you will have the most updated version of the configuration of what we have been discussing during our first segment, which is the cosmos. And for those of us, for those of you that are just joining us, you can always catch up by going to the archives of shows that have already played. We have at this point, I think it's about 46 shows that are archived for your convenience, free of charge. You can access them, and we hope you will, so that you can grow with us as we grow in information during these shows. So, my beloved light family that is listening this day, let us continue to describe the cosmos. What happened after Mother came out of that screen, bringing that automobile, if you will, that first started out as two-dimensional image, then it became three-dimensional, and then finally it came out of the screen and flesh was put on it so that it now resembled that which is real. What then became of us, that automobile, the cosmos, and all its creatures? Can Mother now finally let go and look away? Well, no. She did not dare do that until yet another step was accomplished. And then the obsession that she had to have in maintaining absolute constant focus on her creations in order to let them not go away could finally let up. And this miracle happened in the first week of December 2007. Mother and Father formed a spaceless space. Now, it's very difficult for our minds to understand this. But the seven directions were folded in. They all folded into the within. The next thing that happened is that at the base of everyone's spine, there is a cluster of cells that never renew themselves because they contain the blueprint of that individual's life. Mother had, well, what was that number that we figured out? I mean, it was an enormous number. It was something like 3,000 something.
Of light rays?
No, of cells.
I'm not sure about that.
It was the same number as the light rays.
Well, the light rays were around 36,000.
36,000. So that's how many cells Mother had at the base of her spine that held the potential for what it was she was creating. Mother formed them all, and they each represented a separate frequency, and each of those cells had 9 moving rays of light, mapping out a crystalline form within that cell. All of this was contracted into one cell. One pure frequency and one beautiful ray of light containing all. Now, how do you make one frequency be harmonious? Because if you bang on the piano, it's not going to sound very good. She retuned all of life, all frequencies in existence, to a scale that we have uncovered and is often used. It's called the circle of fifths. It's a specific scale. And it's used for disturbed children so they can bang on the piano. And whatever they do, they are creating beautiful harmony. She did the same in the cosmos and with her frequencies, the 36,000 frequencies at the base of her spine were tuned to that scale. So when she combined it into one, there was this divine harmony. When she did this, she opened up her heart in a way that it created a portal. and through the father's opened heart, and then through the mother's opened heart. This, shall we call it, the automobile, this cosmos, with her beings that now were almost real, they looked real, they felt real, but if she left for one moment her focus and let it go somewhere else, they would still cease to be. This activity had wearied mother. And so what she did is she put an opening in her heart and she absorbed the cosmos in this spaceless space from that which is outside of her body, which is infinite space going on forever and ever, to that which is inner space. She absorbed them within her inner space, which also is vast beyond belief and goes on forever and ever. The most miraculous thing, all of creation entered into Mother's inner space. And then the configuration of the cosmos was again entirely different. Isn't that amazing?
I think that is really the most miraculous. I've seen and experienced many miraculous things since I started working for you, Almin, but that I do think that when that happened last week
incredible.
Was the most miraculous.
Yes.
And I did just want to clarify that it's actually 6,048 frequencies at the base of her spine, each with 9 rays each, which produces the 36,000 light rays.
The light rays.
Yes.
Okay, got it. So the frequencies are, of course, 1 to 9,
exactly.
The light rays. Yes.
Wow. It's hard to know where to go from there, but I do have some other questions that we can continue on with. You've mentioned oceans of consciousness, oceans of undifferentiated life that you've actually spoken with. And I was wondering if these are inside or outside of the cosmos.
Well, now we need to discuss what they were and where they were before Mother took her creations into her inner space, where she no longer, it has become self-sustaining cosmos.
Right.
And if you can remind me, we will also discuss this issue of how they've become self-generative with energy.
That'd be great.
Okay, so they've become self-sustaining. They've grown up. She doesn't need to watch that baby every moment anymore. So, the oceans of consciousness, they motionless outside of the cosmos. When she folded up the directions, she actually consolidated. She took one third of the oceans of consciousness and consolidated it into the other two thirds. They lay again around the cosmos like a vast membrane, if you will. Now, what is outside of those oceans of consciousness? I didn't know this until for the first time, and you were there when I had to do it last week. I got the instruction from Mother that I had to actually go outside of the oceans of consciousness, which filled me with such terror that I was in total terror for a whole day, had to master my fear, and finally had to go to that place beyond the oceans of consciousness. And what is there is mind at rest. The oceans of consciousness were actively involved in watching the cosmos, assisting Mother, solve equations, learning, releasing information back to her. But outside of that is mind at rest. And the oceans were motionless. Then Mother consolidated. Step 2. Then the cosmos moved into her inner space, step 3. Then the oceans of consciousness moved into her inner space. And then they surrounded the cosmos again. But this time, they started to move. And they are currently moving counterclockwise, and it produces energy for the cosmos. So the energy that is being produced is the friction of the oceans moving around and around the cosmos against its membrane. It produces energy. So the cosmos itself has become a free energy device, and their movement is producing that. So that's number one. Number two, regarding this issue of becoming self-sustaining. Mother's heart has been the origin of all energy. It produces as much energy as is needed. However, at this point, every being has the ability to produce their own regenerative, you know, producing immortality to them, energy. And it is done through love, praise, and gratitude. But you know, Paul, I see it's time again for a commercial break. So we'll be back with all of you folks out there in just about a minute.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Bhavaspana, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We are discussing today the macrocosm and man's relation vis-a-vis the macrocosm. We have said that it is in expanding our vision to the uttermost limits that we gain self-empowerment. It is a source of power to enhance perception. And that this in turn is a source of energy which produces higher consciousness. People often ask me why I paint the largest picture possible. How could it possibly help them in the application of their life? But it does profoundly, for it changes their ability to perceive, and life around them then has to change for the better. So now we're back to Paul St. John, who has prepared questions for us regarding the macrocosm, so that we can hopefully stretch your perception. Paul, what would be your next question?
Well, Almaine, you've certainly been stretching all of our perceptions this morning with this big picture of yours of these recent miraculous events.
It's profound.
Yes. I did want to, however, step backwards just a moment and ask you about before Mother brought these oceans of consciousness into her being. Maybe you can discuss what their purpose was before, as they lay as layers around the cosmos.
Well, you know, Paul, they're very similar. They were very similar to the space between protons and electrons in the atom. And in many instances, layer upon layer of these oceans of consciousness, each space kept open by an undifferentiated expression of the Mother. In other words, one ocean of consciousness is like a membrane in in a bag, if you will, and it lies, it's consciousness that is nevertheless an aspect of mother that does not have form. So, now, interestingly enough, they have always been her feminine aspects. But there's been millions and millions and millions of these oceans of consciousness that have been her feminine aspects, meaning that mother was in a role that was very masculine in that it was proactive, whereas they were very receptive, sedentary, non-proactive in every way. I have spoken to them, and it's crystal clear that activity was not exactly their high point. It pushed mother into more and more activity the more they became passive. But the momentum of it is in part what the success was due to. So anyway, now that they've gone into the inner space and they are moving counterclockwise, which incidentally is a masculine direction around the cosmos, mother is now allowed to become the most feminine aspect of the cosmos. So she's now going to become far less active, far more receptive to our support. So, now, let's go back to that. So they were, these layers of consciousness, which are undifferentiated expressions of the mother, they form an isolating membrane around the individuation, well, individuation of the cosmos. In other words, the cosmos is full of life forms, but the cosmos itself is an individuation. So they form a membrane around it.
Right around the cosmos?
Yes. You know, the way the space lies around the nucleus of an atom.
I see. So, using that example, what would the name be that you would give for the entire atom?
Okay, good point, good point. Because if they're the space, and we are, say, our cosmos is the nucleus, mm-hmm. what is the electron, for instance, and so forth.
Exactly.
Okay. We call it a cosmic cluster. And these, they lay in large strings. So they were strings of cosmic clusters, and in between there were oceans of consciousness that separated the nodules. A little bit, if you look through a microscope at a cotton ball, you will see that it's strings, but there are nodules on the strings.
Okay.
Like that.
And what would you call these strings?
Well, you are really stretching everybody, right?
Yep.
Well, technically, the string of cosmic clusters is the physical mother's expression of one of her DNA strands.
Right.
In other words, they come in DNA strands of 12. So there are 12 vast cosmic strings, if you will, each one consisting of clusters like you would have DNA crystals, you know, all the way up. So every string of cosmic clusters was a reflection of one of her DNA strands.
Wow.
There were 12 DNA strands making a cluster. There were 8 such clusters, bringing us yet again to 96, which is a number that repeats a lot when you look at how creation is formed. And, you know, and then there were 12 of those 8 clusters and so on.
Wow, that really just gives one a sense of how vast Mother is.
Oh, isn't it incredible?
It's just mind-boggling. And so my understanding from what you said before is that these have all come into one and then entered into Mother? Is that the way it happened?
Yes. She drew all of her DNA strands into one, which meant all the cosmic DNA. Now, there is a book that's coming out in the future. It'll possibly be out towards the end of 2008 that describes the nature of these parallel existences that we pulled into ourselves and how it's affected life, for example. And then there are most incredible glyphs that have been given by Mother, especially for the major light workers on our planet, so that when they study it, massive changes will happen in their own DNA. So that will be out, I believe, by the end of 2008, called Windows into Eternity. First, we have to get the door of everything in, which is the revelations of the mysteries of Isis. But, yes, exactly.
Your audience, I'm sure, is eagerly waiting. I know we already have, there are many back orders already at the bookstore for the mysteries of Isis.
Well, I'd like to know when it would be ready, too. I'd appreciate it if you could ask our Kentucky office.
It'll be ready soon.
Okay.
So we're getting really complex here, and with very recent, incredibly profound mystical events, I was wondering if maybe you could go back a little bit and start sort of more or less from the beginning of all these changes in terms of our realness, and maybe explain to the listeners in relation to the Eternal Mother Goddess, who is the only real individuation of life, what we are.
Okay, and needless to say, this will be a little longer answer than most.
Yes,
so
I'm sure.
Let's go through this very, very carefully, because that is important to each and every one of us. So up until 2007, about the middle of 2007, Mother's creations were a reflection of one cell of her pineal gland. Then all creatures became a reflection of the entire gland. Then in July of 2007, her pineal gland was upgraded from a matrix that was a star tetrahedron. Now, a star tetrahedron is a three-dimensional Star of David, but it has angles and joints, and is thus part of the illusory-based geometry, and thus a matrix that allowed illusion to be part of life. But she upgraded that to a matrix around that was a flower of life sphere. Now, all beings were still a reflection of aspects of her pineal gland, but because of this new matrix, flower of life sphere, we illustrate that very carefully in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, are 19 spheres overlapping just so that they form these flower petals, if you look at it from the front, in a 20th sphere. Now, because we became part of her pineal gland's reflection, but it had a new matrix, we were now able to pull in and live potential that Mother herself had not yet accessed or known about her own being. In other words, we really did become co-creators. Now, before we go to the next step in the progress of how that linear automobile in the screen, namely us, actually became a real-life car that could drive around the block, it's time again for our commercial break, and we certainly hope you'll join us again afterwards.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is. And it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So we spoke briefly about how we got to the point where we could become co-creators of our being, of our cosmos. Even though it was yet in the screen and unreal, let's take a look at what the next step is. And for those of you that have just joined us, you might be a little bit lost with this answer because it builds on information we gave before, but perhaps afterwards you can go to the archives and access what has already been said. So the next step in making us real occurred when creation became not just a reflection of her pineal gland, but an expression of it. This made the car now more three-dimensional. This made the move more real, and there are degrees of realness. Now, following this, Mother moved the Father, her first creation, into a more real position, out of her dream and into reality. So although all the rest of creation was still the expression of Mother's pineal gland, Father was the expression of her entire nervous system. Everything to do with electricity in her, he was the expression of. And for the first time ever, he was made of the same matter and energy as her embodiment in the screen. This was a massive step forward, as he was the first to become real, leading the way for the rest of creation to do the same. The reason that this has become possible is that out of the stages of development that really all life goes through, and we have mapped this out because the discovery of it for me was about as big as discovering something like the Fibonacci sequence. Once you knew that all life went through these stages, you were able to see it everywhere. And we mapped it out very carefully in the book called Journey to the Heart of God, which incidentally, amongst many other things, discusses the relationship of the microcosm to the macrocosm. Now, there were four bands of discussion, of compassion, four stages of development discussed in Journey to the Heart of God. And the first two have been dissolved by Mother, and two additional ones have taken their place. One is autonomy, which is when the cosmos and the individual relate in a way that feeds each other information. And we've spoken of this in other shows, and a more full description will be in the upcoming book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelation of the Mysteries of Isis, which should be available as of the end of January 2008. This is the expression of diversity within unity, a way of having one heart. So the next band is, these are building blocks of existence. The next band or building block that came in was divine sovereignty. And this is the band in which for the first time was being lived with Mother and Father, where they became one unit. So they feed each other energy. She feeds him magnetic energy through the root chakra. He feeds her electrical energy through the brain. And then it alternates back and forth. So it's like an alternating current moving between two points. And they are in what's called divine sovereignty. They have become as one being. He became transfigured into her matter and energy. In addition to this, they are feeding each other sub-personalities. So her child is relating to his sage, Her sage is listening to his child. Her nurturer is nurturing his child. And other sub-personalities, and we've discussed the sub-personalities multiple places in many of our books because they are that important to emotional balance. But they have become a unit. It's really phenomenal because for the first time, Mother has created for herself a real and fitting partner. However, this great way of being cannot only be done in partnerships between two people, but also between the individual and the mother. Right now, autonomy is practiced between people and between an individual and the mother-father unit. There is divine sovereignty practiced. Now, Paul, you know what? I know that you are practicing divine sovereignty with the mother-father unit.
Yes, I am.
Can you tell them how you got there?
Well, I can tell them, first of all, what initiated it was a desire to feel more at peace during my daily life and more able to function during work hours in a state of contentment and fulfillment instead of just working to get the work done and get through the day. And because of that that context, the easiest way for me was to actually set my alarm for every 2 hours at first, just to remind me to stop whatever I was doing and just pause for several minutes and really feel Mother's presence around me and really connect into that her as my eternal energy source and as really ultimately the love of my life.
Wow. And well, might I add that since you've been doing that, day by day by day, I've seen your light grow. There's a balance in you and a strength that I just have never seen there before.
Yes, I've been feeling that myself, actually. It's quite wonderful. So I highly recommend this practice to everyone listening.
And if they take 20 minutes in the morning or even 10.
Yes, that's a good
start. 20 minutes or 10 minutes at night before they go to sleep. Put on music that reminds you of the divine. And just focus on this one being that gives us all life. And that she's now in a unit with the Father. So they have become as one. And then just set your timer for every couple of hours and take a few minutes to reconnect. If you do this for 3 months or so, it becomes like a song in your cell. The presence of the divine. You won't need to do it any further. It will be there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, and please continue. Any other questions?
Well, I did want you to perhaps expand on the difference between a reflection and an expression of an aspect of Mother.
All right, because we said in our earlier segment, I believe, that in the very beginning, we were just a reflection of the cell in her pineal gland.
Exactly.
And then we became an expression. So let's go to that. A reflection has a destiny. A reflection plays out a certain aspect of the mother, which he or she is a reflection of. Expressions of mother do not have a destiny. They are co-creators with her. Now there are definitely things within the cosmos that are set because it's the destiny of the unit of the cosmos. And they will encounter that which is the larger purpose of the cosmos. But within that, they have a huge amount of personal choice and volition as to how they wish to create their lives. And also, how much awareness they wish to accumulate through love, praise, and gratitude. Other than the Father, there are no royal lineages like we had before. Anyone can rise to the top of the pyramid of awareness through love and praise and gratitude. the more polarity between a creation's matter and energy and that of mother reduces, the more real that creation becomes. This is what determines the degree of realness. In other words, how far apart are we on polarity in terms of our energy and matter?
Wow.
And I don't know if I made that quite clear, but love, praise, and gratitude closes that gap.
Yes, yes, and I think that's really the essence of the divine sovereignty relationship that I mentioned. I'm in the process of developing, and really that's what it's all about during those 5 minutes or so breaks. It's feeling as much love, praise, and gratitude as one can, but also throughout the day, whenever anyone thinks of it. Particularly in those moments that we find challenging, that is the best time to think of the situation and bring mother into that situation and embody love, praise, and gratitude.
It really is. And, you know, Paul, we only have 1 minute, so I want to quickly sneak a little bit in here.
Absolutely.
I had always assumed that the physical formed from the subtle. It was only after encountering within the Isis material for the book Opening the Doors of Heaven that I asked the Mother Goddess herself, and she confirmed that life did indeed spring from what was her physical body into the outer, more subtle bodies of herself, which go on forever and ever, and not vice versa. In other words, she did not form from the subtle. We did not form from the higher light levels. It's from the physical that the higher light levels have formed. Now, I need to leave our folks with this profound insight. We have totally run out of time. But please join us next week. We would love to have you. We are speaking of ways in which we can best serve as light promoters. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to our listeners.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Meen.